Welcome to the soundtrack of your life, a place where stories aren't read, they're heard. Where life isn't measured in years, but in songs. Because every day deserves its own soundtrack. And today we sit down to listen to one of our own through conversations about origins, passions, and music. We celebrated the diversity that makes us unique. Today we open our ears and our hearts.
This is the soundtrack, the soundtrack of your life. Feel the beat, feel the drive, let the rhythm come alive. Oh, this is your time, your story's in the sound tonight. I care about the human being. I care about the human being.
Quoting the 2012 movie, Blue is not so pink. How often do we point at other people just because they're different? Different in the way they think, the way they dress, the way they speak, or the way they love? We forget that we live in a diverse society where everyone belongs and everyone deserves to be heard. We mistreat others because we see them as inferior or less intelligent, or because they have a different skin color. We make jokes about some people because they come from other cultures and have different customs and beliefs. We feel entitled to judge just because they made a choice different from ours. And if instead of pointing fingers, we listened.
So this is the quote I got for today. The people who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who do.
I love it. Thank you very much. Before we delve into your story, we would like you to tell us a little bit about yourselves, who you are, and what role do you play at the university?
So, I'm Tasmida. My last name is Johar. The Johar name... So my name was just Tasmida. Actually, I was born with the name, when I born, my grandmom gave the name Tasmin Fatima. Her name was Fatima, so she gave me Tasmin Fatima. So I had another sister. She passed away in 2012. So her name was Yasmin Fatima. So my grandmom gave the name Tasmin Fatima. So when I was about to go to school in Myanmar as a Rohingya, you have to change the name with the Buddhist name to enter the school.
Okay.
You cannot go with Muslim name. So for that name, so everyone has a second name. So my name was and then they changed it to Tasmida.
Uh-huh.
From Tasmin Fatima to Tasmida. And that was my name for many years.
Yep.
And then when I came to Bangladesh, Tasmida was hard to pronounce for the professors. So in my birth certificate, it's just Tasmida. And then they were getting it hard to pronounce. And then they made it Tahmina. So everyone knows me in Bangladesh with the name of Tahmina. And then after coming to India, I claim asylum for United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees. So with my birth certificate from Myanmar, it's Roten Tasmida. So that name came into my identity card. And then I studied there for my high school and university and everything. And then when I was coming to Canada, I need a second name. So I needed a last name for filling every forms and stuff. So Tasmida, Tasmida, I was putting everywhere like two Tasmida. So it's still my Laurier email is like Tasmida, Tasmida because of that. So, and at last, I was suggesting, like they were from the university, they was telling me if you want, you can give a second name to you.
Okay.
And then as my three brothers, our last name is Johar. Johar is like diamond. So my grandmom had a, she was like, she adopted a boy that time. So his name was Johar. So she liked that name a lot. And then she named my three brothers, like Ali Johar, Muhammad Johar, Hussein Johar. And then I was like, as everyone also, like a lot of people call me like Tasmida Johar a lot of time in India. So maybe I should give that last name. And then, yeah, it worked. And now I am known as Tasmida Johar. So, yeah,
what
not may- after my father's name. Yeah, it's like with my brother's name.
Whoa. It's a construction of different experiences in life.
Yeah.
Well, let me take the chance to ask you, how should I call you? It can be your name, it can be an alias or the name of an animal, an object. How should we call you?
So in my home, I have a nickname. I don't want to reveal, but I can. So they call me Lalu. Lalu is like, in our language, it's like beautiful. Kind of, I was very like, kind of beautiful when I born. So my father gave that name Lalu. So in my home, everyone called me that.
Okay. But you feel comfortable to call you Aaron?
Perfect. So for all our listeners, this is the voice of Lalu. Lalu, welcome.
Welcome to the soundtrack of your life. So before we start, we always start the podcast with the questions that the previous guests left for you, without knowing it was you who was coming. So before you, we had Chris, and Chris left this question for you. If the money wouldn't care, wasn't important, what program you have chose to study over here?
Like if I don't...
If money weren't the problem.
So which program? Maybe not money, like for me, identity was the always a problem. As a Rohingya, I never had any identity to show to the school or anywhere. So I was always a bright student. So mostly I got a scholarship in my whole life. So money was not a problem for studies for me. So even now I'm with full scholarship. So the thing was identity. So if in the place of money, if I don't have to show my identity anywhere, I would have gone for the doctor. I really wanted to be a gynecologist since like beginning, but due to the identity crisis, I couldn't get into the science school. So
there is time. I should say there is time still.
Yeah, maybe in future sometime.
Roots and origins.
So you gave us some information in advance, but what if we start asking you what your family roots are and where did you grow up? So tell us the whole truth.
Okay. So I am a Rohingya. I call myself a Rohingya. So we are an ethnic group from Myanmar, also known as Burma in British time. So we are also one of the oldest civilization of the Arakan, called Rakhine Valley, also Arakan Valley. Now it's known as also Arakan, but they say it's like Butirong, like there are different times they change it. So we say ourselves Arkani, like who born. Even I was discussing this with my brother yesterday. Like we are Rohingya as a national and our language is Rohingya. But the people who born in Myanmar, we call us ourselves Arkani, Arkani Rohingya. And then the people who are not born in Myanmar, but they are in separate nations, but they are like our community. We call them Rohingya.
Okay.
We call ourselves Arkani Rohingya. So yeah, I'm from them. My parents are from there. And then I was born there, but I was born with no identity. Like in 1982, government snatched our citizenship. So since that time, Rohingya doesn't have any identity. So in our own country, we live as a guest. They say us. So we have an identity card, like it says, it called in Burmese language, Yai Kepra, which means you are a guest in our country. You are
guest.
Yeah, guest. You are not from here.
You are a guest.
So this is a guest card. So with that, so with no identity, we look different from other, all nationalities, from like all other ethnic groups. So that's why we had to face different discrimination, like in the name of like going to school, you have to change the name. As a Muslim, we need to cover ourselves. They don't allow us to do that. As a Muslim, you cannot sit in the front side, front of the bench. There are a specific bench you can sit there. And like after the 10th, you cannot go to university because of the identity crisis. And also, like whatever, like somehow you finish everything, you don't have any job as a Rohingya. They don't get you. You don't get any job from the government. You don't get any. You just can be a teacher by yourself, or anything you can do by yourself. You are not in any government sectors by now. So because of that, my parents decided like this is not going to be a good future in Myanmar. So as a businessman, my father was a businessman, so he had to go to like different places. So for a Rohingya, if you want to travel anywhere from one place to another inside the country, you have to take permission from government and you have to pay a certain amount. So each time, it's like how many times you are going, how much you're going to stay, you have to inform everything. Mm-hmm. So with that, they will take an amount from you and then they will allow you to go, and then if you go again, you have to pay again. So this is the, like, wherever you travel, you get extra fees, you have to give everything there. So with that, my father's travel was a restriction. Like he used to face a lot of difficulties, and then a lot of time he was arrested by the government police officers, and then he had to be in jail for many times for no reason. And then they decided like we are not safe here, and they don't even call us our like nationality. We don't have anything, so let's move. And then they took the step in 2005, and then we came to us, like we don't have any passport and anything, so we cannot go any other countries except like neighbors crossing the borders. That's where we came to Bangladesh. And then in Bangladesh also, the situation is like the country is very small, like the economy was not that good, and then people are already facing difficulties there. So that's why they moved to India, the neighboring country. And then again, in India, there are a lot of identity crisis. Still today, there are more than 700 people with the United Nations High Commissioner Refugee Card, valid ID. They are in the jail. Like, they don't consider that identity card as a like legal. So each day, my parents are still there. So each day they face a threat. Police come to our house and they threaten them, go to your country, go back, you are illegal here. So each day they face this situation.
Each day.
Yeah. So even yesterday they had to go to the police station to give the biometric. Like each 6 months they have to prove themselves like they're not doing anything wrong. So each 6 months they call them to the police station and then to biometric and everything. And then so even they did yesterday. So it's a threatening thing.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. That's why I'm here.
The next question is about home, but I mean, in your case, home might mean different things for different people. So in your case, what home means to you? Is it a place? Is it a feeling? Is it a specific people you think is yours?
So home for me is like my birthplace, where we had a, like, until government interference to us, we had really beautiful home. Like, our home are made by wood, two floor. Each family, each people has their own house. Like, now in the world, we are almost 3 million people, like, around the world in a lot of countries. So, like, each people has their own house, own business. So, in the country, so we used to play there. Our life was like heaven. So that place, I'll never like blame that place or my home. I'll blame the government, the people who made us here. Like, so that is my home.
Mm-hmm. And homes many times brings different things like sounds and flavors. And let's talk about a sound that describes or a sound that comes to your mind and reminds you hometown. What will it be? Take us there with your imagination.
So most of the time at night, each family has a swing, like, to play, like, at outside our house is made here, and then we have a compound. So in the compound we have swing to play and playground. So our calendar, we count with the moon. So when moon is like 13, 14, 15 days, it's like bright mm-hmm. everywhere. So those days we used to call our friends at night. So we used to play like with that, and we used to play like sing our own song, like, please come out, it's like very bright and no one gonna hurt you, it will be so good to play with each other. So we used to sing those songs with each other, and we used to play at night. Was the sounds of, like, yeah, sounds of each other, sounds of the music.
Mm-hmm. What about food? Food is like an invisible thread that connects us to home, right? Is there a flavor that means more to you than just food? Like, what memories do you have in that flavor?
So, one of the most favorite snack, I will say it's a snack. Also, you can eat with rice. It's called lapato, which is Myanmar national snack. So lapato was like, when you have a guest, when you have people, you always make that, and with the green tea you serve it. So that lapato is like full of flavor there. We still have here, like, we get here from Myanmar shop, but we don't get that taste, that flavor. But that was like, yeah, amazing.
The closest one.
Childhood and early connections.
Well, that must be one of your childhood memories, right? But besides that, which one? Not, no matter how simple it might seem, but it is one a memory that you hold like in your own, and why?
I would say one memory, like when I was even leaving my home. From Myanmar, I was just 5. So that time I had a makeup box. As a girl, everyone loves makeup. So when I knew that we are leaving the country, I was like, no, I'm not gonna leave my makeup. I can leave everything else. And then I put that makeup box, like, to cross whole border and everything, I was holding that. So, but in Bangladesh, I had to left it. Because, like, I keep it for long years. So, and also in Bangladesh, I was learning, like, stitching clothes. And I made a really good diary. I was thinking I will bring those two things when I'm leaving the country. But, and then it was very like, we had to leave in a very hurry. We just got to know that we are just leaving and our car is waiting. So we just ran. So in both time, so as a immigrant, like in Myanmar, we didn't even knew that we are leaving the country. At night we were sleeping. It was Ramadan. So in Ramadan, Muslim wake up for like eating at night, like it's called suhoor. So mom and dad, they wake up for suhoor and then they just, so we used to wake up to eat like good food. That time they eat a lot of good food and there was a milk, like condensed milk. We used to see that where she's putting that and we used to steal that. So to steal that, I was awake. So, and then, yeah, they said we are going somewhere. And then we just left. So that time after coming to Bangladesh, we got to know that we are in Bangladesh. So it was like that. And even from Bangladesh, like they just told us like we are leaving in an hour and then we just left. So it was not planned or anything. It was just...
Yeah. Just happened and that's it.
Just happened.
And then in the meantime, you have to learn many things from every experience. And sometimes you learn like values and principles, right? So is there anyone, any value or any principle that stands out for you, and from whom or how did you learn from it?
So like each place we go, the main important thing is the communication. It's like you have to know the language to speak with the people. So yeah, that's how I speak 5 languages so far.
Why? Which one?
So my mother tongue is Rohingya. And when we went to Bangladesh, we had to learn Bangla to study in the school and communicate with the people. And when we came to India, we had to learn Hindi. And then for the school as well, I can read and write Hindi, Bengali, Urdu, and then Urdu to communicate also. Like in school, I had to take that subject. So I know Urdu and some Pashtun and yeah, and English a little bit. I'm learning. It's just not even 2 years I'm speaking English. So before that, I never speak English. So now I'm learning English after coming to Canada.
You speak better English than me. So don't be afraid of it. So later, we should learn from you how to say thank you in different languages. But let's keep ourselves in your childhood. This is a special time in our lives. And there are also special people who made impact in our childhood. Who was that person in your life?
I would say like my mom. She was always a backbone for the family and for myself. So I would say since childhood, I was really, really introvert. Like I was very silent since until like maybe 2 years ago. So I was not talking to people. I don't like to talk to people and everything. So, and I don't even like to go outside. So my mom was the one, like, you born in a situation, you born in a community that you have to be strong. You cannot be like that. You have to go to school. So also in our community, like mostly because of the security situation, people move here and there. So in the camp situation, you cannot keep a girl for a long time. So they usually get early marriage, or like it happens, like there is almost no one who can stay until 20 years or more than above. So because of the, like, always parents have a fear that my girl is safe with her husband or anything like that. So my mom was the one, like, you cannot be like others. You have to be strong. You have to be hear a voice for your community. So also I have 6 brothers. And then she like make me like, you are not less than your brothers. Like every family says that, oh my God, you are a girl, you cannot go out and this. She said, you are a boy with them. You have to be like them. You have to act like them. It's like, you have to be strong. I also remember an incident like when we were in a refugee camp for many years in India. So I was going to high school. My school was evening shift. One day there was a bus strike, so I couldn't come on time. And then my mom was worried like what happened to her, like, she's not coming. So we were walking from the school, so it was taking a long time. So she was facing from the community women that, oh my God, what if something happened to her? What if she ran away with the boy? What if she did this? What something happened to her? What if someone kidnapped her? Like, in that situation, she was getting all those comments. We told you not to send her to school. What will you get from her after sending the school? Like, don't send her, get married to her, like, do her marriage and send her to her husband's house. Yeah. So we told you, what if something happened? Who will marry her? And this. That time she was facing all those things and she was not saying any single word to them. When I came to home, like, she asked me what happened, and then I said, there's a bus strike because of something, and then we had to walk from home, like, school to home. That's why it takes time. It was dark. She was waiting for me at the road, and she said, do you know what happened today? This woman were saying these things to me. I don't want to say these things to you. Like, I don't want, I didn't want that to, these things will to you to feel bad. I want you to learn these things because this woman have not enough knowledge. This woman are like weak. That's why they're doing this. So these are like, these things they say to me, this is going to be your like, breaker to go up. You will use these things as a like stronger tools for your success in life. I don't want you to be hearing this stuff and sitting and crying. I don't want that. I want you to be strong and use these examples for your success. That's why I'm letting you know this stuff. And then after like next day, she replied those women like, this is my daughter. If something happened to her, I'm going to face the circumstances or consequences. You are not the one to tell me what am I doing to, what should I do and what should I not do. Like, do mind your own business. Don't interfere in our family situation. So she replied those things next day. So yeah, she was the like, even when our exams happens, like each night she used to sit with us, give us company, give us coffees, tea to awake, like, yeah, we will say. And even in her time, she was educated, so she knows the value of the education. Because of that, our community is behind. So I would say she, and also like whole family.
Well, my respect for your mom's personality. I like it. I like it very much. And you mentioned earlier that you used not to like talking to people, and now you're here talking to me and sharing all this lovely, lovely story.
Passions and personal energy.
And then you realize that this is your fourth year at university.
Yeah.
Which is a fast-paced place, right? So you have basically lived all your life in a fast pace. What happens when you need to relax, to get relaxed? What do you do?
So like, yeah, from my age of 3, I was in school. So even for school, I had to go through different stuff. Like, see, in Myanmar, I had to learn Burmese and in the school. And when I came to Bangladesh, I was in 3rd grade. I had to start again from beginning because of the language and study stuff. I had to learn Bangla and studied there. When I came to India, I had to learn from crash classes again. And then I went to high school and a university and came here. So, yeah, in those different stuff, like, I was going to different language classes, and like I never relaxed in my life. Like, whole life I was going something, and even like from the age of 8, I started working, like, with different NGOs, with UNHCR, with UNICEF, with other like scholars. So I used to help them to translate, transcribe. I'm still working with L'Oreal. So for my free time, like, I usually think that on weekends I will enjoy myself, but now I'm in fourth year, so I don't have time at all. Like, I have a lot of work. Like, Saturday, Sundays are not enough for me to do my work. But it's still, like, I enjoy to go to the park. I go watch movies sometimes. And then, yeah, I explore different stuff in Canada. So,
and of course, memories are part of your life, right?
Yes.
Some of them bring joy, some of them bring nostalgia. Could you share a small thing, a small pleasure, a simple pleasure that never fails to bring a smile in your life?
Finishing my university in India. Like, I always wanted to be educated and graduate. So I graduated in 2022 and also got the scholarship selection to come to Canada. It's not just giving me the studies, it gave me the safety. It's gave me an identity. Like, my whole life, I had to change different names. I had to go in India, I hide my identity. Like, I never said that I'm a Rohingya. Just to get the studies, just to get the education, you have to hide. Because if they know that you are Rohingya, you wanted to study, they will never allow you. So now I can say, like, after selecting for this scholarship, I was like, okay, now I don't have to hide my identity. Now I can use my identity as a strength. Like, I don't have to think that, oh, I don't know what will happen tomorrow. I don't know if they will, like, there are different cases happens in Bangladesh and India that if they hide their identity and they're studying school or university, if they know, they expel them from the school. So there are different cases. So those things I don't have to think. That was the, like, leaving for Canada and being safe was the moment I cannot never forget. Yeah.
Safety is a source of happiness for you.
Yeah.
But we don't know, we don't only have happiness, right? We have, like, a fears as well. Sometimes they are big, sometimes they are small. If you feel comfortable, then what are you afraid of? And how you learn to live with that type of fear?
So, yeah, most of my life, until I come to Canada, I was with family. Mm-hmm. It's like our community is, like, kind of generational living together. Like, even our parents, we never stay out from our parents. Like, for example, in Canada, if you're 18 years old, you leave the house. And then, so in our community, in my family, we don't leave the house if you're 18. Like, it's like we live with our grandparents, my brother, our family members. Like, so I never stay even a day from outside from the family. But this was, like, biggest fear and anxiety for my family, also for me, that how will I stay alone in Canada. Also, I feel really cold. Like, even in Indian weather, it was very, like, not even like this in winter, like the weather right now in Canada, it's not even like that, but I was feeling so cold. So that was also one fear for my family, that how will she survive in Waterloo going there, and also loneliness. Like, so those things, like, when I came here, it was full winter. It was full winter, and I never went to grocery before. I had to cook for myself, I had to stay alone. So those things were, like, very difficult mm-hmm. days for me. So, yeah, that was, like, living alone, living with no one. I was always in fear with my roommates that, like, even though we are four in living in one house, but we don't know what the other person is doing. Like, everyone is in their own room, and what if something happened to me? Like, who will know that? So that's why I used to tell my roommate that if I don't move for some time, please go and knock to me, check me, like, yeah, if I'm alive. So even I used to do that. So that was the, like, very, like, separate from each other was thing.
The university experience.
And in the meantime, you were dealing with the experience at university.
In university, coming directly for fourth year. Like, actually, I came for doing master's as I'm done with the undergrad in India. So as my university was during the COVID, so I couldn't get more experience. It was mostly online. So that's why I wanted to do another undergrad. So also my undergrad was 3 years. So that's why I had to do one more year to get into the master's. So and at when I was doing 1 year, I decided like, no, I don't want to go for master. I want to do another undergrad. So that's how. So my previous degree was political science and history. And now it's global studies.
So you basically have shared with many, many people. Is there anything you have learned or maybe rediscovered about your own culture or identity by sharing with others here at Laurier?
So here at Laurier, we are almost, I think, 9 or 10 Rohingya students, but 4 or 5 of them are like brought up here. They came very early in 2007 or 8 or 9, that time. So they grown up here, they adopt the culture. They don't like to like interact with the Rohingya students. But like now when I came here, I was the only one. And after a semester, I got to know there are 2 more Rohingyas. And in summer, this summer 2025, I work with international students overcoming war. Incoming scholars. So through our effort and everything, we received 2 more new Rohingya girls from Bangladesh. Now they're also studying at Laurier. So 6 more are coming. So yeah, when you are with the community in the country, like in back home, you don't feel that like disconnection, or like you don't feel even like, oh, you live with those people, you know them very well. So you don't feel anything. But when you leave the community, you even like feel, oh my God, if I found someone from the community, like if I now see someone from my community, I will feel like, oh, this is my people. This is the, you feel that connection after you lose that situation. So I feel really happy, not in a one way, like they, I feel really happy them too. See them in the university as we are. Our government made us like, you cannot study, you cannot develop yourself. There is different situation, yeah. So if I see them going to the university, going to the job, I feel really happy that my community is like doing something. So
many things to deal with. Is there any like experience here at Laurier that make you see the things completely different, something that transformed you?
Yeah, one thing I would say, like office, like professors, for example, like back home, professors have all the right to beat you, to scold you, to insult you, to like, they're the one who have all the power.
Okay.
Like if you visit office hours, it's a sign of like your weakness. Like I used to ask some question in the class, so I was beaten for that. Like, why you ask a lot of question? Like, I was beaten for like drinking water without permission from the professor. And then I was beaten for like different stuff. Like, so those things, like professors are very different. After coming to Canada, like I'm almost fifth semester. I've been studying for like more than almost 2 years now. So here I still that have fear that I scared when I see professor. I feel that, oh my God, something they will do with me. And then when I got to know that professors are like, they feel happy when you go visit the office hours. They are, you can ask any question. You have all the right as a student. So it's not sign of like going to office hours, not sign of your weakness. It's like you are caring for that. That's why you are going. So they feel really happy. One of my professor was telling me like whole semester there was no one visit his office hours. So he was curious that how he is teaching. He wants his feedback as well. So I was the one who was going like 3-4 times in his office hours. He was so happy that you are the only person I see you in office hours. So, and then I was telling him like, this is the reason I really wanted to come and talk, but those fears, my whole life threatened stuff. So those things like make me like this. I still fear. Like if I see professor, I feel like, oh my God.
The song of your life.
But at the same time brings happiness to your heart.
Yeah.
Like music does in our show, right? Because of music is the heart of our program. And regarding that, you have chosen a song that defines your life at this very moment. So before you say the name of the song, can you tell us what moment or feeling or idea that this piece of music captures for you?
So recently, a Rohingya boy released a song called Oar Khan. It's like the referring the place we were born. So it's kind of he was trying to show all the memories of back home. So that song, when I was listening it yesterday and I was recalling all my memory that I was going there, that time I was going there. So those memories were recalling in my mind.
Let me tell you something. This piece of music that you chose, which until now have been a personal treasure, will no longer be played only for you. From now on, it will have an audience that upon hearing it will celebrate with you this exact moment in your life. It will be a reminder for all of us about your story. So, tell us, what song is that?
Song?
What song is that?
It's say Oar Khan.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like you were saying, Oar Khan, hande de dilan, hoto din hoye tab no dekhir mukhan. It means like, it's been a long time I'm not seeing you. How are you doing? Is everything safe there? And the song describes everything like, how are you doing without us? We are missing you. We want to see you. It's been a long time. We don't have interaction. I'm missing you. I didn't forget you. So,
recall us your alias, your nickname that you chose earlier. What was?
It's Lalu.
Lalu. Imagine that this song is the soundtrack of a chapter in your life. What will you title this chapter?
I would say happiness, maybe.
I love it. I like. Probably one of the most difficult words to incorporate to our heads, right? Because we are always struggling with many things. But we forget how happy we are, right? And usually you think that you will be happy in the future only if. So let's think about the future.
A look to the future.
Meaning the future that you would like to build here at Laurier and beyond. What message would you most like to project and leave as a legacy in our community?
So I would say for a Canadian, for example, Canadian local, a daily life is like going to university, going to work, and living with the family is like typical day for a Canadian. For a Rohingya, it's like kind of a daily life of a Canadian is a dream for many, many Rohingyas who are living back home with no safety, with no education, with no food. So, like, please, like, if you get the opportunity, do it seriously. Like, as I said, education was like, to just get the education, I had to go through different stuff, many different difficulties, to hide identity, to feeling all constant, living in a constant fear that, oh, if they know that I'm Rohingya, they will expel me from the university. So these atypical days, a dream for a person who is living in the refugee camp. So enjoy every opportunities and do your work, do your hard work. And if you get a chance, think for those people who cannot get this chance. Like, also Loya is a contributing this way, like all undergraduate Laurier students is paying $1 each year to bring to students who are affected by wars, like Somalia, Africa, different African nations who are affected by wars, Syria, Myanmar, Afghanistan. I'm also one of them who, like Laurier undergraduate student brought me as with their like $8, like with that fees. They brought us here, like each year they bring two students, international students overcoming war. Also in January, there's gonna be a levy that Laurier undergraduate student will have the opportunity, like if they wanna pay that $8 extra their fees or not. So if they select yes, of course that $8 for a year will not be anything, any difficult for them, but it will change to life, like whole future and everything. So
only with $8?
Yeah, only with $8 in whole year, you are changing like to life, like me who face everything like different from you their whole life with the fear, threat. Excuse me, for like even like their whole life was, I don't know what will happen next morning if I wake up.
Mm-hmm.
I will be alive or not. When we were living in the camp, two times the local people burn our camp. Like they don't want us to stay in that area. They want us to go back. So they burn our whole camp at middle of the night at 3. So those things, seeing everything burning from our own eyes was like whole life. Even though I'm safe now, but my family, my community, a lot of people are back home. I'm still like, whenever I get a call from them, I always feel scared. Like, I don't know what happened to them now. Like, this call is about, I don't know what. They're safe. I hope they will be fine. So these things happen. Like, if you're getting opportunity, like, please, like enjoy also, like use it in a good way.
I was wondering, what if instead of $8 it was 50 or 100 more people would be
maybe. Yeah,
thinking about people, when people think of you many years from now, what will you like them to remember? What mark would you like to leave in the heart of those who know you?
So, yeah, like, I would say living in refugee camp for most of, like, I was a refugee for almost 2 decades in my life. So, in those situations, we never even think about education or anything else. We just think that, what will be our next meal? We don't have food for eating next time. And at night, how will we survive without, like, there were many times we had to sleep without food. So, like, but, like, there were also situations people came and helped me. If I didn't get the scholarship, how will I study? So there were different times. I was a bright student in school, so school gave me some, like, fees, like they list my fees, and then I used to study. Like it was just 300 for 3 months, so I was getting that money. 300 Bengali is like $3 or $2 in Canada. So with that $3, I was getting the scholarship, and I was giving half of them to my mom to bring the groceries and stuff, and half of for my like notebook, my pen and stuff. So, but even that time, my both parents were working. As in, my mom was working in a factory, and my father was like whole life he did business, and we had everything back home. But after leaving, so he had to work as a daily laborer in a construction building. So he worked there for long years. But still, they help us to. We didn't even know, like, in future I will come to Canada and I will study here. What will be our future? But they, like, told us, you have to study. We don't have anything to give you. You have to do your hard work to stand on your feet. You have to be educated for yourself, for community, for us. So we cannot give you anything else, but we can give you these things for now. So we can support you from back. So even like I remember, so back home we have to, in Bangladesh, back home means like Bangladesh for me and India. So those there, you have to wear uniform and everything to go to school. So I remember our uniform was like, for a uniform I used to wear for 3 years, one uniform. So we don't have money to buy another one. For shoes, we used to tie with the like stitch that, not to like, we cannot buy another one. So we used to repair it and wearing it. But also me, myself, I did really hard work. Also my parents. So like, if you have potential to do something in future, you have dream, no matter where and what circumstances you are, you can achieve it. So that will I say, like, yeah, even parents have to be with the kids. Like some parents say in those refugee situation, like, we don't have anything and we don't want to send them to school. Like, if he goes for daily work or anything, like, if he bring $1 for me, that's contributing to my family. What will I do with their studies? So that things, like, it's like, it means you are spoiling whole life of them for that amount. Like, do your hard work, but send them to school and do support them. So yeah. Also like parents and student, like, yeah, if you want to do something, you can do. Like, I am the only one so far in India for 40,000 Rohingyas living in India so far from the beginning. So I'm the only one who graduated from the university. So even that moment was really like, I could celebrate and everything. Yeah, of course it was a celebration, but at the same time I was really sad that why just only me? Why not other? Mm-hmm. Where are all the, like, in 40,000, they are like half, more than half of are like children and youths. Where are they? So they are not getting the opportunities. So yeah. So it's like celebration at the same time. It's a sad moment for me that if I see someone studying, someone going to school, it like feels really, I feel really happy that.
Feelings like joy and nostalgia at the same time. Things that happens when,
yeah.
Also when you listen a song, when you listen music, it brings that to you. So, well, it's been an honor to hear one of the songs from the soundtrack of your life, because it means a lot to you, and now it means a lot to us. Your story, your music, and thank you so much for that.
The chain question and the gift.
And because we are close to finish the circle, we connect with our guests, brings a story for each of our guests. So for next guest, I would like you to leave a question. He or she doesn't know. Who made the question? You don't know who's gonna be the next, But what kind of questions are you going to leave for that person?
I think it will be like, how much you know about Rohingya people? Like, do you know who are Rohingyas? And if you know, what do you know about them? Also, should I write it or say it?
Later, would you?
Okay. I think it would be like, yeah, do you have any knowledge about Rohingya people? Like, yeah, they're, if you don't know, then I will have a message that, like, there, please go and search. There are a lot of news about them in news. So, yeah, they are one of the oldest civilization of Myanmar called Arakan.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, they are the only community all over the world with no identity. They are stateless. So, in a different parts of the world, it's like, if you compare, it's very, like, you don't even know about those people, but there is a community called Rohingya with stateless.
Let's see what this person says.
Yeah,
and let's see what this person does.
If you don't know, no problem. Welcome to search about them. And
absolutely. Or maybe even make contact with you.
Yeah, maybe you can contact with me. I'll, of course, let you know, like, whatever you want to know.
That'll be lovely. Well, before we leave, this is a small gift that we have for you.
Thank you.
This accepted. This is a...
I love candle. Do you know, like, I have a lot of candle on my study table. I usually do, do one and then I study at night. I turn off the light, and so this will be tonight. Thank you so much.
Well, then this gift has a small message for you. Then the message says, like, thank you. Thank you for your vulnerability and for sharing this sense of you with us. And this is a tangible reminder of this day.
Thank you so much.
And this is the time for you to say your last words. But mine are, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Remember, throughout our lives, we all experience a little bit of everything. Moments of great joy and success. And also challenges, setbacks, and difficulties. It's part of the human experience. It's the nature of life. However, what's truly important isn't what happened to us, but how we choose to respond to it. We have the power to decide whether to let bad things hold us back or use them as a fuel to keep us going. Therefore, the best tool we have is a positive attitude. This doesn't mean ignoring problems, but rather facing them with the conviction that we can overcome them and learn from them. Always a positive attitude. Always. See you next time.
I hear you loud. Turn it up, let the moment ignite. This is your sound, your life tonight.
Every step, every turn,
every fire, every burn.
I'm here for the highs and the lows, in the rhythm it all.